start turning in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, locate verse 11 this morning. I'll be reading verses 11 through 22 of Ephesians chapter 2. Grateful for all these men who are willing to help lead in singing. And as we lift up our voices to the Lord, we are singing to God. And we are teaching and admonishing one another through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. During this time of not having as much music as we are accustomed to, our voices are the music. And you can view our singing and your singing in that way, that our voices are the music as we sing along together these wonderful truths of the faith. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. I'll read aloud. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. If you'll follow along in your copy, I would appreciate it. I do want to do a little survey real quick. How many people in here have a New King James Version with you today? So, good number of us. How many people have an English Standard Version? Okay, good many. And what about New American Standard Version? New American Standard. Okay. Anybody have like an NIV?
Okay. I have all those on my phone.
We're all on your phone. I was just wondering, just curious about that this week. Ephesians chapter 2, I'll read verse 11 and follows. The Bible says, therefore remember that you once, Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Verse 16. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to those who were far off, and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And the Lord bless the reading of his word. Would you join me in prayer? Oh, gracious God, who are we to be able to call upon you, Lord, but those who have been saved by grace through the blood of the cross, reconciled to the Father. Lord, as we behold your word today, as we look into it, Lord, I pray that we will live and keep your word. And I pray, God, that our eyes would be open, that we may see wondrous things from your law. Lord, do not hide your commandments from us today, for we cannot see them with physical eyes. Lord, we need your word to be revealed with spiritual eyes. Lord, I pray that we will look to your word at all times and in it find rebuke. Lord, in it find your commandments. Lord, in it ultimately find Christ, who was
the fulfillment of it. Lord, when we know of, hear of the law and obeying the law and how precious the law is, we can say, yes, indeed it is, for in it Christ has fulfilled all the righteous requirements required there. And God, we through faith in Him can stand before You. Bless this time that we have, please, now in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 1:2, I'd like to share with you a message entitled, He Himself is Our Peace. Verses 11 through 22 really seem to get lost in the shadow of verses 1 through 10. 1 through 10, the passage that we looked at last week, is kind of like a Hallmark passage, no doubt. Certainly verse 8 and 9 and 10, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's like a Hallmark passage in the book of Ephesians. If you don't know any other verses in Ephesians, you need to know at least those three verses and even have them memorized. But these following verses sort of get lost in the shadow of those wonderful verses. But verses 11 through 22 are like, really, if you stop and reflect on them and listen to what Paul is saying here, they are like a refreshing glass of water on a hot summer day. Because in this, we get to see from a fresh lens what Jesus has done for the world. And I want to show you 3 points from this passage. The two are really quite parallel with one another. 1 through 10, and then 11 through 22, very much parallel one another, because we see the condition of man without God, and then we see what God has done to save us and to make us His very own people. So, first of all, we'll see in verses 11 through 13, as we explore the Word together, the desperate condition of the people. Handouts were in the back. I hope that you grabbed one of those if you we're interested in following along. Let's work back through the text. We're just going to kind of work back through this and try to learn. Please, just lock in here, engage in the Scripture, and look at the wonder of it today. Verse 11, Paul says, therefore remember that you, so these whom He has made His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, the good works which God prepared before the beforehand, that they would walk in them. He says, remember that you who have experienced the grace of God and come to faith in Christ, you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. Gentiles there is the word that we get the word ethnic from, or ethnicity. It's the idea of a tribe, a foreign one. I've just kind of labeled it peoples because I want it to take into account all the peoples of the world. In the Bible, you know, if you've read the Bible very much, you have Jews and you have Gentiles, right? And the two typically do not care for each other too much throughout Scripture. Here the word Gentile is that word ethnic. In the Bible, in the Gospels, we see the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, and what an amazing thing it was that the Samaritan of all people, was the one who was a neighbor to, or fulfilled the law in being a neighbor to the person who was in need. In John chapter 4, we have the woman at the well, and she was amazed that a Jewish man was speaking to her there in John 4. In the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 10, you have Peter receiving a vision 3 times. A sheet coming down with all sorts of animals on it, some of them being unclean. And he was told to rise, kill, and eat. And Peter said, I've never eaten anything unclean or common. And God says, whatever He has called clean is clean. So you see this, even this phrase, Gentile dogs. You ever heard of Gentile dogs? Y'all know what the only thing worse than a Gentile dog is? A Gentile cat. That's original with me, okay? Y'all can use it if you want to. That's completely original with me. Gentile dogs, though, is what they were referred to by the Jews. So Paul here, when he's writing, it reminds them that they were once Gentiles in the flesh. We'll see a little bit more about what that means in this passage. But over in chapter 4, he describes it. He says, no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Being a Gentile to a Jew wasn't a good thing. And he calls them here, and if a lot of your translations have the word uncircumcision in quotation marks. If you were listening to Paul say this, it would be something like, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision. That's exactly what he's saying here. And because in that last part where it says the circumcision, he even says they're made in the flesh by hands. He's not saying that these Jews, and when you see circumcision there, it's the idea of a Jew. They are those who are from the lineage of Abraham. He says just because they are circumcised, that does not mean that their heart has been changed. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, we've already seen that Paul wrote there, and he said that circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but a new creation. So here he is contrasting these two groups, reminding the Ephesians, and you remember the history, don't you, of the Ephesians in chapter 19 of the book of Acts, and how Paul went there, and the temple to Diana was there, of Artemis, and they worshipped Diana. Well, these Gentiles in the flesh were in a bad condition, a desperate condition. We'll notice six things in verses 12 through 13 quickly as we work through these. Notice what Paul says about them, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ. That's number one. They were without Christ. They had no right to Jesus through their family line, and they had no faith in Christ. So they were without Christ. Number two, they were aliens, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. So in other words, they were not citizens. They were non-participants in Israel, the chosen people of God in the Old Testament. Number three, we see in verse 12 that they were strangers from the covenants of promise. We've heard the word xenophobia probably, or xenophobic a lot in our society over the last since 2020, the word is here in this passage where it says strangers, xenoi, foreigners, or guests. Someone who's xenophobic is afraid of or hates foreigners. Here, Paul says that the Gentiles were strangers from the covenants of promise. Those things promised by Abraham, through Abraham, through Moses, through David, and then the new covenant that's promised that will come to the nation of Israel. They are all strangers to it. They're foreigners to it. They have no rights to it. And then we see also in verse 12 two more things, having no hope and without God in the world. Think about that last phrase, those last two. Could anything worse be said of us? That you have no hope and you are without God in the world? That's what the condition of the Gentiles was. Verse 13, we see one more thing. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, that's the last one, number six, they were far off, they were nowhere near, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So that's the first point, that the peoples were in a desperate condition in themselves. The second point is we're going to see the difference that Jesus makes for the peoples. Now, in verse 13, as I was studying this, I kind of asked myself the question in verse 13, but how did Jesus bring those who were far off near? We see that he did it by the blood of Christ. But we can go further to ask the question, how did the blood of Christ, or what did the blood of Christ do to be able to bring those who were afar off near, so that we could come into the very presence? We read about it in Hebrews chapter 4, that we have, because of our great high priest Jesus Christ, we have the ability to come boldly into the throne of grace so that we can find mercy and comfort in time of need. Y'all remember hearing that? Hebrews, and reading it, following along, Hebrews 4. There's a reason why we can do that. And as I asked myself the question, I saw that the answer is in the following verses. So let's take a look at it. As we see the difference Jesus makes, we see that He Himself is our peace in two ways. Jesus is not only our peace, but we see that He is our peacemaker. So starting at verse 14, let's work through this. It says, "For He Himself is our peace." That's emphatic. He Himself is emphatic. What it's saying is that He, Jesus, is found in the person of Christ. Peace is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Him. "For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one." Now, everybody listen up. Think about this passage. Think through it as we're working through here. Both one. He's made, and think about the context. Who were the both? That's right. The both are the Gentiles and the Jews. So Jesus is our peace, who has made both Gentile and Jew one. So now there's three classes of people, actually. There's Jew, there's Gentile, and there's Christian. So He has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Now there's different opinions on whether this was a literal wall that Paul was referring to, or something else. The word separation is a fence, more like a fence. The middle wall is a wall. In the temple, there would have been a court of the Gentiles. Then there would have been the temple complex area. And that wall that is there is a wall that the Gentiles were not to go beyond. But Jews could go beyond it. Gentiles were to stay out. Paul got arrested in Acts chapter 21, verse 29. You see that he was accused of taking someone named Trophimus, an Asian Gentile, into the court, into the temple area. That means he would have gone beyond the wall of the Gentiles. As a matter of fact, on the outside of that wall, there was an inscription that warned the Gentiles that if they go beyond it, they are guilty of their own death if they decide to do so. So Paul was arrested there. So there was this idea, certainly, around the temple, that you were not to go beyond a certain point if you were a Gentile, if you were uncircumcised. But here in verse 14, Paul says that Christ has made peace, made both Jew and Gentile one, and He's broken down that wall. Now, He didn't physically break it down, but spiritually, He has broken down that wall of separation. Let's look at verse 15. "Having abolished in His flesh." That word "abolished" is a word that means to render useless. It's the same word that's used, as I've shared with you many times, about Jesus abolished death. He abolished sin. He abolished the devil through the cross. Here we see that He abolished in His flesh the enmity. The enmity. Now, that's the word we don't use a lot, isn't it? Enmity. What does that sort of sound like? Enemy? Like enemy? The word enmity is a word that means hostility. They were hostile toward one another. So these Jews and Gentiles were hostile toward one another. Jesus says that He abolished in His flesh that hostility. Now we continue reading in verse 15. It says, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances. In other words, do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. The Jews said, obey the law, even though they didn't do a very good job of it. The Gentiles said, what law? Who cares about a law? We're not of Israel, the circumcised. So there was this enmity, this hostility in between them because of the law. And in verse 15, you see that Christ has changed the standard that both groups are looking at. You see, The Jews no longer are saying, keep the law. The Gentiles are no longer saying, the law doesn't matter, who cares about God. The standard has changed to Jesus Christ. And because He alone is our righteousness, their righteousness, our righteousness before God the Father, both Jew and Gentile no longer look at something else, but they look at the God-man Jesus Christ as the standard and the way to righteousness. Through faith in Him, not through our own accomplishments or their own accomplishments. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinance, so as to create in Himself, look, check it out, so as to create in Himself one what? That's the Christian. To create in Himself one new man. The word new there is a word that means fresh, unused, novel. Novel. Well, we learned that word last year too, didn't we? The novel virus. The coronavirus. Something brand new. We're not familiar with it. We have no immunities built up to this. Everybody put on masks and shut everything down because we don't want everybody to die. It's new. It's novel. Well, Jesus is saying right here, or Paul is saying right here, that Jesus made a novel man, a new man. And that man is the man that is made in Christ Jesus. Not a man after the dust of the earth, but after the heavenly man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Christian is. If you're in Christ, if you've been saved by the blood of Christ, you've had faith in Christ, then the Bible tells you that you are a new man, and not only are you a new man, but you are a part of a body, which is the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, he continues there and he says, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two. What are the two? Jew and Gentile, thus making peace. Verse 16, it says, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to those who were far off and to those who were near. For through Him we have access by one Spirit to the Father. Try to summarize this. We've seen that Jesus has made peace with men, Jew and Gentile, can now come together on the common ground of Jesus Christ. The blood of His cross. But not only, it doesn't end there. Because not only is man reconciled to man, but we see here that what Jesus has done as well is that He has reconciled us to God. He has made us now into a position in our relationship, in our person, so that we are in good terms with God. We are one with Him. The Bible talks a good bit about reconciliation. I'd like to read for you a couple of verses about this. In Romans chapter 5, verse 10, the Bible says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, here the Bible says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So He has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus. And then finally in Colossians 1, verse 20. We see here that He's done this through His blood. Verse 20, it says, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. That's what Jesus has done. He has not only brought two together in one, making a new man, but He has taken those two, those both, and made them reconciled to God. This morning, I want to ask you, has your state changed from being one who is at enmity with God to being one who is reconciled to God? Are you asking yourself the question this morning? Because it is a very, very important one to ask. Have you went from a state of being at enmity with God to now being reconciled to Him? If you affirmingly say that you have, then you are one who testifies to having Christ Jesus as your substitute, as your Savior, as your only hope. You have Christ. Because the only way we can enter into a relationship that is on good terms with God is if the righteous requirement has been fulfilled. We can't do that on our own, so we look to one who did it on our behalf. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So Jesus reconciles us to the Father by the blood of His cross. And you see there that instrument, that bloody instrument where His body hung in verse 16. Both to God in one body through the cross. Why do we get together on Friday, Good Friday, and remember the death of Jesus Christ? Why do we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ died for our sins and that He was buried and that He rose again? He died for our sins according to the Scriptures and He was buried and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Why do we preach the gospel? It's because through that gospel, that is the only way any man, woman, boy, girl, black, white, yellow, it does not matter what color you are or who you are or where you live on this earth, you must come to God through Christ and through Christ alone. If there was any other way, then Christ died in vain. He died in vain if there's any other way. But there is no other way. God came in Christ and bore our sins in His body on the tree. Now, I know many of you believe that already. Some of you don't, and I admonish you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it this morning. You are commanded to do it. But for those of you who have heard this old, old story hundreds of times, thousands of times, I hope that it is refreshing to you this morning to be reminded that it is not in you that your standing is before God, but it is in Christ and through His cross where our sin was paid for. And I pray that that will cause us to live guilt-free because our sins are paid for on the cross. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He does it because of the blood of His Son. I need to stop there. I'll have to finish this message next week. We have today something that we're going to do at the end of our service to sort of highlight this. I'm going to go ahead and go to our conclusions from the Word. But the conclusions from the Word, the first one is the peoples are still desperate for a relationship with God. So the 7.9 billion people on the face of the earth, and there are people who have never heard of Christ. There are people who are still, just like what Paul described in verses 12 through 13. Those six things still characterize them. So, because of that, we do missions. And we support missionaries as a church. And one of the things that we're going to do here in just a moment, and we're going to watch a video that was sent out by some of our missionaries, and we're going to have to turn off our live stream, our live feed, and also we'll stop our recording so that we as a church can watch this together and be updated from one of our families who will be moving to another location to serve the Lord. And I think this video gives us a good reminder of the need for us to keep preaching the gospel, keep supporting those who are on the mission field, and for us to be willing and ready to go when the Lord opens up opportunities and doors for us to go and preach the gospel to a foreign land. So at this time, for those who are joining us online, we'll have to be cutting off our live stream, but the Lord bless you. Thank you for joining us today. I will pray for us, and then we will go into this time of watching a video as we end our service today. Let's pray together. Our gracious God, what you have done through Jesus is absolutely mind-blowing. Thank you, God. And I pray, Father, that we would be, Father, amazed by what Jesus has done and fall more in love with Him and live for Him, Lord, and believe in Him. In Jesus' name.